Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
But Matthew 9:15 says, "And Jesus said to them, can the friend of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the day will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." So over here, Jesus is talking about two things. He's talking about a day that he was in, and then a day that was coming. In other words, how times change and how we must be able to build capacity to be able to handle every changing time. Hallelujah. It is important for us to be able to prepare ourselves, build ourselves in a way to handle new days that are yet to come, new demands that are yet to be put upon us. Hallelujah. So look at verse 16 now. "No one put a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskin, or else the wineskin break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskin are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." Jesus is giving a very important understanding to us over here that in his time, wine was kept in a wineskin. It was made of animal skin. Now, after a while, the wineskin becomes hard, you know, so hard and even brittle in such a way that if you put new wine into that wineskin, which is hard and brittle, it will not have the capacity to sustain it. And so he says, rather, new wine, you know, because the fermentation process is going to let off gases that is going to act upon the wineskin, trying to expand the wineskin and all that, so that if the wineskin is brittle, if the wineskin is so stiff, it is going to break. And what is going to happen is that the wineskin is going to spoil, and then the new wine or the new thing that God wants to do will also get spoiled. So he says that new wine must of necessity be put into new wineskin. Now, why is Jesus talking about wine and wineskin and all that? All that Jesus is talking about is capacity. We must have the capacity to be able to contain things that God do from generation to generation. New things, new days of the move of God, people of God must build the capacity to be able to contain the new thing that God wants to do. Hallelujah. So I want us to bear this one in mind as we look at how we can build our capacity to be able to contain the harvest, how we can build our capacity to be able to contain the blessings that God has got for us. Hallelujah. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. We take it from the beginning and we will look at the mandate that we have as humans. The original mandate God gave to mankind is what we want to read now, and then we will see how we can build our capacity to contain it in our day. Genesis 1:20 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion," underline dominion, "over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Hallelujah. Now, in this scripture is our management mandate. In other words, our assignment as humans is captured right in the beginning. This is the purpose for which God created humans, he created them to, what? First of all, have dominion over the fish of the sea. That is talking about the finances of the world. In the Bible, the sea is talking about mankind or the world. All right? So the fish of the sea is talking about the riches, the wealth of the sea. All right? It's talking about the wealth, the finances in this world. Says that we should have dominion over the fish of the sea. The first place of dominion is over money matters. As we go along, you would understand. Now, the other area is over the birds of the air. That is talking about the virtual systems of the earth. In other words, things that belong to the spiritual, that belongs to the invisible, I should say. It's talking about systems which cannot be seen with the eyes, but which human beings have to live by. So we call it a virtual system, okay? It's not necessarily practical, You have heard about virtual reality, where the thing is not real, but You can live in that world as if it is real. It's a system, all right? So the second place of our dominion, where we should rule, we should manage, is the systems of this world, virtual system. And in this computerized age, this understanding is what we must get. In this computerized age, we must understand that God wants us to have dominion over what? Over technology. Dominion over the cyber world. Dominion over the system that human beings are running their life by. Everything is done virtually by the computer these days. That is where God wants us to have dominion over the virtual systems. That is talking about the birds of the air. It's not just the computerized system or the cyber world, but it's also talking about the spiritual world. The key word over here is the invisible. The air is invisible. Invisible is talking about the virtual system. Also talking about the spiritual systems. The birds of the air also speak about the demonic elements, which you cannot see with your eyes. If you like, you can describe it as virtual reality now. They are there. You cannot see them with your eyes. If you put on a special goggles, spiritual goggles, you will see them. You see their network. They are there. They are part of the virtual realities we have to deal with. We have to manage. We have to have mastery and be able to rule over. The third place of dominion that God gave us is over the cattle. The cattle is talking about practical things, practical issues which are with mankind on the ground. As for the birds, they are in the air. Man is on the ground. But these cattle, they are with you. They are walking the earth on 4 feet. You are walking the earth with 2 feet. He says that there are issues just around you. They are so practical around you where you live, and he wants you to have dominion over that one also. So over finances, number one, that's the fish of the sea. And then number two, over the virtual systems of the world. That's the birds of the air. That includes the demonic world also. Demonic installations also. And then over the cattle. That is where I say that it's about the practical issues of mankind. Practical issues that are with man on the ground, And then over all the earth. Over all the earth is talking about the physical systems that we have to manage over all the earth. All the earth, not some part of the earth. All the earth. The earth is the physical. Is that right? So this is talking about over the physical elements of our world. Physical elements of our world. God wants us to have dominion or rule or management over the physical elements of the earth, the physical systems of the earth. This also speaks about the scope of our management. The scope of our management is all the physical things of the earth. And then over, lastly, and over everything, creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Every creeping thing. The key word is creeping. Creeping means that the thing is in motion. You know, there are some things which are in motion. They are migratory. You know, they mutate from one state to another state. You know, they have a way of passing on from generation to generation. Right? They are creeping. In other words, they come in a subliminal manner. Before you are aware, the thing is all over. They didn't come in the air. They kept creeping, you know, to take over the earth. So he says that, I want you to control the creeping things that are on the earth. Migratory problems. Problems have a way of mutating or changing their form, but they are the same old problem, you know. The same element or the same animal that was here that crept to the eastern side of you is the same thing, but it mutated from one place to another place, but it's the same element, only that it looks different in that new environment. God says that no matter how things are migratory and problems change their form, the same old problem of idolatry may change its form and present itself in a certain way where we can glorify it, where we can say that, well, this is it. You know, we can use a new English, a nice English word to describe it, but it's the same old idolatry issue. It's the same old wrong mentality issue that has mutated and presented itself in a different way in an aspect of your life in our generation. Hallelujah. So Jesus, in Matthew chapter 9, our text, was talking to us about things that move, or new periods of life, new paradigms of life that comes upon the earth. He said that, look, the bridegroom is with them, but the days will come that the bridegroom will no more be with them. In other words, the days will change. The days will change. Things will mutate. Forms will change. And then we must have the capacity to be able to handle the new days, the new thing, the thing that has crept from one place to the other place. That is why he ended saying that nobody can put a piece of new cloth on an old cloth, because the new one will tear the old cloth, you know, and new wine cannot be put into new wine skin. All that he was saying was that when times change, we must develop capacity to also change, to be able to control. Otherwise, we are going to lose the times that we are living in. We are going to lose the new thing that God wants to do in our generation and then with our lives. So with these few words, I want us to just get a picture of the management mandate that God has placed upon mankind. This is his supreme reason for bringing human beings into the world. Now, I want you to understand that, you see, things may change on the face of it, but the purpose of God always stands. There can be new things in the heart of man, but it is the counsel of Jehovah that he declared from the beginning that stands over our life, over my life, over your life. So you must not lose sight of the reason why God brought you around. When you lose sight of why God brought you around, what is going to happen is that you're going to double in battles, in systems that you should not focus on. You know, your focus must be why you were brought around. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and then verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 and then verse 6. The Bible says over there that being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work, please underline, begun a good work in you, and underline in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Bible is telling us about a beginning and about the end, about a time span, that in the beginning, if God begins a good work, once it's a good work, and of course all that God begins are good, once he begins a good work in you, the Bible says that you should be confident of this very thing, that he will not get frustrated and back down on what he began. He says that until the day of Jesus Christ, God's eye will be focused on the ball. His eyes will be focused on why he brought mankind around. And although the times may change, still the reason why mankind was brought into the world in the first place, which I have just captured in few words to you now, that reason still is going to be the pursuit of God. That is where the eyes of God will be fixed on. And so by implication, that is where our eyes also must be fixed upon. Because God is no man.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
You see, for human beings, many things we begin, we don't end it. Because when we begin something, we get frustrated. Human beings are prone to frustration. When we get frustrated, when people are trying to discourage us, when people are hindering us, when people are making things tough for us, we stop. But God says that, look, as for me, the devil can come and then he can let mankind sin in Genesis chapter 3. And let mankind, do his own thing. And let mankind walk in religion instead of my kingdom. But he says that if I began a new thing, a good thing in you, I will not back down. I will continue in that good thing until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, until Jesus Christ comes again. God has not forgotten about Genesis 1:26. Now, in the midst of problems and mutating seasons, changing seasons of life, you may lose sight of why I am around. We may lose sight, well, the fall has come. We may lose sight of whatever thing God puts before us in the first place, but God never loses sight of it. That's why the Holy Spirit said, be confident of this thing. Don't let anybody shake you out of the fact that God began a good thing in humans when he said, be fruitful and multiply and all that. When he said, let us make man in our image and let them fulfill these things. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the air, the scope, over creeping things that creeps on the earth. God has not forgotten this. His eyes are on it. That's one thing about him. He keeps his eye on the ball. Where the ball is going is where he will follow. There may be off the ball incidents where the devil can knock somebody and all that. Sometimes in soccer or football, people do off the ball incidents. They quarrel and they hit each other. But the referee is focused on where the football is. So he can see. He cannot see maybe some of the things are off the ball incident. The linesman may also not see it. But sometimes when they are playing back, the match commissioner and all that, they play back the match to see even the faults of the referee and all that, and grade them and then give them assignment and all that. When they are looking at the whole thing, then they will say, there was something that happened over here. So there may be a lot of off the ball incidents, but believe me, God's eyes are on the ball. And you and I must not also be deceived by the off the ball incidents that the devil creates. Quarrels he picks with us. When you are going and he boots you. Off the ball incident. Those of us who watch by television, we don't see anything. We only see where the ball is going. And where the cameraman says that you can see is what you see. That's why people go to stadium. Because over there you can see everything. The camera doesn't control what you see. Hallelujah. I am telling us, ladies and gentlemen, that we must keep our eyes on the ball. There can be hullabaloo in the church of God, but keep your eyes on the ball. There can be hullabaloo, brouhaha, confusion in your life, but keep your eyes on the ball. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Because that is where we are going to, what we are going to use to score the goals. What is going to count at the end of the day before God. We have to keep our eyes on the ball. At the end of the day before God, what I brought you into the world, were you able to fulfill it? That is the goal of mankind. That is what we are going to use to score points and marks before God. There may be other things that you may do and help people off the ball, incidents and all that, but it doesn't score as much as the goal. The reason why we were brought into the world, Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, is to have mastery or management over finances. Number 2, to have management or mastery over the virtual systems of the world. Number 3, to have management or mastery over the practical issues that are on the ground, your day-to-day, everyday issues, to rule over it. Fourthly, telling us about the scope over all the physical things, you know, including other planets. You know, the earth is representing the other planets, all the physical things, not just the virtual, spiritual, but the physical also. And lastly, over creeping things that are on the earth. That is what God is going to look at. Hallelujah. Now, it is important to understand the role of mankind in God's program. I want us to understand at this point that before God created mankind, He completely finished all His creation. He completely finished every one of the things that He wanted to do. He didn't create man, and then after creating man, He started creating things. He created everything, finished everything, and then He created man after He had completed every one of His work. So by the time man was created, there was nothing else to be created. So let me ask you, what is man's work then? To look over it. Because I made sure that I did everything before you came. And I said everything was complete. Everything was finished. So afterwards I created you. So what do you think your role is? To manage what has already been created. To control the estate of God. To control the empire of God. Nothing else we can do. There is nothing we can do on our own for God to recognize. He has finished doing everything. Hallelujah. In the beginning, before we came around, He said, Tetelestai, or finished. On the cross, before we were born again, He said, finished. So what do we have to do? Just to manage what has been finished. Hallelujah. And that is the mandate of mankind. It's amazing. You know, when I was studying, God was teaching me about these things. It came to me that the word manage can be broken into two. Man, you know, and age. It's talking about human beings in this age managing or controlling affairs of this age in which we are. Hallelujah. That is what we have to do. And I must make you to understand that as it was in the beginning, if believers believe that we are living in the end times and Jesus is coming soon, then we must quickly think about how did we begin in the first place? Because some of the things that we believe is almost a creed among Christianity. That as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. So if we believe that in the beginning we were made managers of things that God had already made, then can't you think that in the end, the final call of man is to go back to the beginning? Because when God begins a good thing until the day of Jesus Christ, He will pursue it until that day when we believe Jesus Christ will come for us, rapture us away in the skies of glory. But we need to understand that managing the things that God has done, managing the things that Jesus has already accomplished for us, Making it a practical reality in our life is the first and the final call of mankind. That is what I put on this material, the management mandate. Unveiling the first and the final call of mankind. If we believe this is the first call of mankind, but when sin came in, things became some way, and we believe that Jesus Christ is coming again, and we believe almost like a creed that he who began a good work, I mean, as it were, if God begins something, that is the way that is going to end. Then we must know that the final call of God on mankind is to make us to manage just as he intended in the beginning. So tell the person sitting by you, keep your eyes on the ball. Hallelujah. Especially, like I said, as Jesus on the cross said, Tetelestai. Wow! That it is finished. It means that those of us who are coming after the cross of Jesus, just like in the beginning with Adam, God has finished everything. He doesn't want our effort. He just wants us to recognize what he has created. He just wants us to recognize what Jesus Christ has done already for us and enforce it and live in it and manage it. Manage it so that it doesn't become lost on this earth. So that diseases do not take over this earth. So that poverty do not grow. Have you heard about the Forbes rating, the recent rating, you know, where few people, I mean, it has always been like that, but very few people are controlling 82% of the world, about five people or so. Aye! Is it 5% or five people? It's very strange, yo. That is where the Amazon man, some of you don't know, he has overtaken Bill Gates in such a way that Gates has become like a small boy. The Amazon man is now worth about 112 billion. Because when he was leading, he was around 50 something, right? Wow. God wants us to manage the things that he has put under us. Things that Jesus has done for us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is the same with Israel. If you look at the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1 and then verse, I hope I get it right. Is it chapter 6 rather? Chapter 6 verse 11. Good. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 11. Look at verse 10 and 11. Deuteronomy 6, 10 and 11. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. Please note that. Even for Israel out of Egypt, God made sure that the promised land was already finished before they got there. So he says that, look, God is bringing you to the promised land. The land he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says that he's describing it to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. Houses full of all good things. Not some good things. All good things which you did not fill. Somebody did that. Hewed out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. So for Israel also, God says that I made sure that the promised land was beautiful already. I made sure that the land that I was giving you, the wells were digged already, the cities were built already, the vineyards and all those things, they were done already, houses were there already, I have filled them with riches, with whatever thing, freezers and air conditioners and all those things, a carpet, I mean, with all the computers, I've made sure that all these things are there before you people got there. Wow! Can you imagine the problem of Israel when they got to this place? I can imagine it. Because Israel, they were slaves. I hope you know that. Slaves. Slaves. They were slaves. And slaves, I know, were not living in the best of places. They were living in like the Zongo of Egypt. They were not living in powerful places. Except Moses. That is why Moses could not be a high priest. God had to choose Aaron to be a high priest. Because at the time that Aaron was suffering as a slave, with the people of Israel, making mortar and building all those things. Moses didn't know how to make mortar and bricks and all that. He was in the palace enjoying all the computers and all that. But it's important for a high priest to taste the suffering of the people so that he becomes somebody who can feel for them. They said, "No, Moses, your brother Aaron, your senior brother, is going to be the high priest. He's qualified. You are not qualified. You know the work of the high priest. He stands between God and the people." So these were slaves. These were people who were living in the slum areas. These were people who were living in the places that the water was not flowing well, that there was doom saw light off all the time. These were people who were living in places where the thing was not built with the correct materials. And all of a sudden, they had to enter into beautiful cities already built, wells already digged. I'm sure they'll look at them and say, "Hey, as for us, all that we know, slaves, all that we know is wala tu wala sa. All that we know is digging the foundation of the pyramids and all those things. Now, what is all these computer things about?" Why? You see their problem? Their problem today is our problem today. Their problem of managing an already finished thing is our problem as believers even today. That is why we must build capacity. That is why we must be able to mutate and change to be able to contain the new thing God is doing at this time in the world. Otherwise, we cannot but let the systems of the world, let the finances of the world, let the creeping things have dominion over us instead of us having dominion over it. Why? Because we have not built capacity. Actually, that is why Israel could not enter the promised land. They couldn't get there. It took them like 40 years. I hope you know that. God's plan was not 40 years. God's plan was that they entered the promised land in days, a matter of days. But it took them 40 years. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.